number 4, please, 2 Timothy and chapter 4. Appreciate Brother Tom and the invitation. I never take it for granted to stand and proclaim God's glorious good news. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Let us begin reading with verse number 1. The apostle, under the pen of inspiration, says, "I charge thee," speaking to Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come," may I interject, "and the time now is, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." I want to simply take my title this evening right from the inspired page, the first few words of verse number 2, "Preach the word." That's what I want to endeavor to proclaim to you tonight, this subject, "Preach the word." There is a preacher that I have come to admire a great deal. He pastors a church down in Jacksonville. His name is H.B. Charles Jr. And H.B. is really an interesting story about his life. He was the son of a preacher. He actually began preaching when he was about 13 years old and started pastoring his first church when he was 17 years old. It was really quite an anomaly. He was really quite a prodigy. It was obvious very early on in his life that God's hand was on him, that God's blessing was on his ministry. And as a young boy, 14, 15-year-old young man, he was invited many different places to go and preach. He would go to youth rallies, to different camps, to different places to preach. And one time he was invited to, I believe it was Chicago, he was invited to preach there at a youth rally. And he had left home, he grew up in California, flew to Chicago, and on about the second or third day of this meeting, he was resting as he was staying in the home of one of the host pastor or one of the members there. He was resting and the phone rang one evening after the service. And it was his father on the phone. His father had called to check on him. And H.B., as he tells this story, he says when he heard his daddy's voice, he said he just broke down. When he had left home, his father had been hospitalized. First time ever in his life that his father had been to the hospital other than for visitation. And so when he heard his daddy's voice, this 15, 16-year-old boy who had never been gone from home that far, from that long, was just homesick. And he said, "Daddy, I want to come home." And his daddy said, I know you do, son. He said, "But you've got 6 more messages to preach." And young H.B. said, "Daddy, you don't understand. I want to come home now." And H.B. Sr. said to him, he said, "H.B., said, I want you to do your old man a favor. Be a man, son, and preach." And H.B. said, H.B. Jr. said, "Okay, I will." And his daddy said, "No, son, I want you to promise me that you'll be a man and preach." And H.B. said, "I promise you, Dad, I will." So he stayed out the week, finished his meeting, and while H.B. Charles Jr. was on his flight from Chicago back to California, his father died. Little did he realize that that night was the last time that he would ever talk to his father here on earth. And now these many years later, even decades later now, after many years of the ministry, these words resonate in his mind and in his memory. Be a man, son, and preach. And I can't help but think that this is probably a little bit how Timothy felt when he got this letter from the Apostle Paul that we know of as 2 Timothy. You well know that Paul considered Timothy, he considered and called him his son in the faith. And so I imagine as Timothy took that scroll and unrolled it and began to read these words, he looked at this and he heard those same words, be a man, son, and preach the word. The Apostle Paul will tell him, I'm getting ready to check out of here, Timothy. The time of my departure is at hand. I am soon to lay down the pen of inspiration and be ushered off into glory. But before I leave, there's some words I want to share with you. Be a man, son, and preach. And that's what I simply want us to look at tonight, that exhortation given to Timothy to preach the word. Preaching, and by that I mean sound biblical preaching, is becoming more and more a thing of the past. Men who will faithfully stand and proclaim what thus saith the Lord are harder and harder to find. In many pulpits across America today, or on Sunday, many pulpits, there will be men who will stand and do anything and everything except preach the Word of God in an effort to either survive or thrive. Many worship centers have relegated preaching to a lesser and lesser role of prominence in the worship service. It would seem, and I have been told, we have had some folks who have come to our church and they have been out visiting different places and they tell me, you just don't find people that preach the Word anymore. You go to church and they have programs. They have different movies and they have different plays. They have all kinds of things, but nobody preaches anymore. And dear friends, this was never God's great design for His New Testament church. You and I have been called upon to be faithful, either to preach or to make sure that the person that gets in the pulpit brings the book and declares what thus saith God Almighty. There are praise and worship services, so-called. I have been told, probably many of you have, by certain people, why the Spirit moves so greatly, we never even got around to preaching. That is not God's design for the worship service. God's design is that when God's people get together, that this book would have the preeminence and the prominence in the service as it lifts up the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you can find about anything and everything you want out in the religious world today. I am merely, my brother, you said this and I thought about it. I am merely a sinner saved by grace. And why it pleased my Father, my Heavenly Father, to call me to the ministry, I'll never understand. But He did. And as long as I'm able, I'm going to try to preach the Word of God. I'm going to try to proclaim the message of God. Here is with me this incredible mandate, this sacred mandate. Verse number 2, preach the Word. If you will notice, Paul brings more to bear than simply a fatherly exhortation. Probably all the Apostle Paul would have to do is to say to Timothy, Timothy, I command you, preach the Word. And their tight-knit relationship might produce a faithfulness in Timothy, yet Paul brings something greater to mind to young Timothy. And that is in verse number 1, I charge you before God. Now, Timothy, you need to be reminded of something. I love you, son, and I want you to be a man and preach, but I'm leaving here, and after I am dead and gone, I want you to know that there will be someone else listening to what you have to say. Every one of us who stand behind the sacred desk need to be reminded that God is listening to what we say. That you and I who have been called to the gospel ministry will give an account for what we have said, what we have taught, or what we have not said and not taught. I charge you before God. I urge you with everything I am, Timothy. I charge you. I put this sacred privilege, this sacred duty on you before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ. There, my brother, we see God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, who would never have battled with anybody as to whether or not Christ was God, simply brings the two of them together, declaring the divine nature of our Christ by saying that the Lord Jesus Christ, He will judge the living and the dead. You'll see what He says in verse number 1. He will judge. Now judgment is coming. In light of coming judgment, and because of the fact that Christ will appear, Jesus is coming, and because He will consummate the kingdom, preach the word. I charge you before God. It's not just the urge of a father figure, but I charge you before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word. My dear friends, in a time and an age when it seems like churches are getting older and smaller, we may, in an effort to reach the masses, we may lesser ourselves. We may relegate to some other means by which we may draw men and women, but we cannot give up the sacred mandate to be faithful to preach the word. I believe even as I stand here now, there are souls on the very edge of eternity. And because of judgment and because of Christ's coming and because of the certainty of God's anger and fury, we must preach the word. I'm a little bit old school, maybe. I know I try to be practical as I preach. I know not everybody likes my preaching. I know that. Not just its content. They don't like its style. Too loud, too long. But I'm of the opinion that what I have to say is of such importance, I need to try to demand your attention. That what I'm saying is of such terrible significance that I need to do everything that I can do as a man to try and compel you to hear what God has to say. If I don't have any conviction about it, I don't think I have any business expecting you to have any conviction about it. I like what old Brother Earl Smith said one time. My father and Earl Smith, some of you may remember Brother Smith, they were sitting down talking one time, and Brother Earl Smith had been to a conference. And Brother Smith was telling my dad about something this preacher said at the conference, and my dad said, "Well, did you believe that? Did you agree with that?" And Brother Smith said, "No, I didn't believe it, but I believe he believed it." And I think that's how preaching ought to be. You may not agree with me about everything, but you ought to believe I believe it when I get done. I believe preachers ought to preach with some conviction, some passion, some urgency. We are here on the King's duty, and it is a divine calling. Preach the Word. Now, what is preaching? There's a very simple question, yet one worthy of our study, our inquiry. What is preaching? In its greatest sense today, it is considered a religious term. But as Paul would have written this letter, Timothy would have understood this to be a term of a duty or of a command that is incumbent on him to be a faithful steward of what had been entrusted to him. The word preach, I about had to stop you there, Brother Tom. You was getting all in my sermon. The word preach means to herald or to proclaim. In years past, if the king had a message to relate to his kingdom, he would employ heralds. We're so far removed from that. You have to remind people there was a time before TV and the radio and the internet. Because now when a world leader has something to say, he just walks into the press room and he addresses the nation. Or he issues a press release. But there was a time before all that when the king wanted to send a message. Perhaps there was some invading army approaching the kingdom and he wanted to warn the people. Maybe there was some dreaded disease spreading across the empire. So in order to warn the people, he would bring heralds to him, these criers. He would bring them to him. He would give them the message and then dispatch them or send them out into the kingdom to relate his message. Thus is preaching. Our sacred mandate is to preach the king's message, to faithfully relate what the king has said. It would serve us well, we who get behind the pulpit, to remember that we are not here to give our message. We are here to give God's message. We are on assignment from the king. And we should do our very best to relate the king's message the way the king gave it. I'll make some friends tonight before it's over with. Timothy, preach the word. Herald God's message. Proclaim what the king has said. Timothy will have well understood that. Preach the word. I throw this in just so I may win some friends before I drive them away tonight. He didn't say, Timothy, build buildings. He didn't say, Timothy, be involved in a youth program. He didn't say, Timothy, visit the sick. Spend all day at the nursing home. All week at the hospital. Now these all have part and parcel of the ministry. But of this divine list that the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to give Timothy, his first sacred duty is to preach the word. And every church, we need a turning back, brothers and sisters. We need a turning back where we realize that it is the pastor's responsibility to equip the saints to teach you to do the work of the ministry. Not that we pay him to do all that so we don't have to. But rather that you and I pick up our duty, church member alike, that we pick up our own responsibility so that it frees up the pastor to do what is most important, and that is to preach the Word of God. Well, I had a lady in my church, she asked me, she said, I got a friend in the hospital, I want you to go see him. I said, have you been to see her? Boy, that woman is, huh? She said, no. I said, I'll go see her when you go see her. And how do you like that? Wait a minute. I thought that's what we paid the preacher to do. No, you don't pay the preacher. No, it isn't. You support his ministry so he's able to study, to preach the word. Told you I'd make friends. Well, I love y'all. Well, it's all right. Preach the word. Can I say it like this? Preaching is not some dry recitation from a printed page. preaching is not some clown in sandals and a tank top sitting on a bar stool hypothesizing about the how-tos of life. Preaching is God's man standing in front of God's people with God's Word yielded and directed by the Spirit of God, proclaiming the message that the King gave. That's what preaching is. I'm afraid that many people today, they think preaching is no more than VBS for adults. Some self-help rhetoric, but oh no. It is the preacher's sacred duty to preach the Word. I like what I believe Titus 1 verse 3 says, that it has pleased God in these times, in due time, to manifest His Word through preaching. It is the preacher's responsibility to manifest. That word manifest is an interesting word. It means to make bare, to lay it out, so that people can understand what God is saying. To lay it out, to lay it bare, to make it plain that God has been pleased in this day and age to manifest His Word. This is how God reveals His Word, through preaching. This leads me to my second point then, that our mandate is to preach, our message is to preach the Word. And I have mentioned this, but I'll come back in behind it a little bit stronger, if you will. We are to preach the whole counsel of God. Preachers, I don't want to come across as a know-it-all. Some of y'all have been preaching longer than I've been alive. I think about Brother Kendall sitting back here. He's my elder, and I was brought up and taught respect to elders. I don't know, but we don't teach young people that much anymore. But there was a time when you're taught to respect your elder. But brother, preach the Word. You hear me? Preach the Word of God. Preach the whole counsel of God. I'm afraid that we have a generation of Baptists today who can quote every doctrine that there is, who could tell you everything there is about the trail of blood, but don't have the first idea of what the book of Habakkuk is about. Now, it's good to know doctrine, and it's good to know church history. But you want to know what I believe? I believe we do better to preach the Word like God gave the Word. Now, did God say what He meant? Did God say what He meant, and did God mean what He said? Then why do you and I need to run around here and say, well, I know that the text says this, but I'm going to say what I want to say. Now, if you'll notice, I hate to do this, but there is such a thing called context, and I'm being sarcastic, forgive me. Look just up a few verses. Chapter 3, verse 15. From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. God's Word is able to make you wise unto salvation. Verse 16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed. It is given by the very breath of God. This is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And do you know what it says? It says that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17 says that this book will make you a mature saint, a grown-up saint, that the preacher would be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If God's Word is able to do that, then why not preach it that way? You know what we have today? We have a crisis of confidence in the sufficiency of Scripture. We think, well, I know that the text says this, but I'm going to say it my own way because I can improve on the way that it's written. Now, we don't like to, we never be so brazen as to say that, but that's what we do. When we say, well, here's the text, but I'm going to use that as a springboard to say what I want to say. Why don't you use the text as an anchor instead of a springboard? You'd be better off to stay true to what God has said. Preach the word. Did the King's Herald have editorial license over the message? If the Herald left the presence of the King with the message that the King gave, did he have the right to go out into the empire and say, now here's what the King said, but here's what I'm going to say? See, I've come a little ways, and not everybody's where I am, but I believe you either preach by exposition or you preach by imposition. You either expose the God-intended meaning of the text or you impose your own will on the text. What was God's command to Jonah? Go tell him whatever you want to. I don't believe that's right. You go, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Brothers and sisters, that's what you and I need to do. Let me be careful how I say this. Men who preach need to be careful, and all of us as we teach or preach others need to be careful. We stay true to the text. It's easy to gather people that like to tear down. It is easy to gather people that like to tear down. You know, an 8-year-old with a sledgehammer can tear anything down. It takes work to build. I'm not interested in spending my ministry tearing everybody else down. I'd rather get busy building something. There's too much preaching about what everybody else is wrong about, what makes us so great. And not enough preaching on the Word. If you'll just go, do you believe God put the book together? That He said what He said as often as He meant to say it? Then why can't we just preach it that way? You say, well, preacher, that's boring. If that's boring, somebody ain't doing something right. Either the preacher's not doing his job or the hearers are not doing their job. I'm reminded of the man that got up into the pulpit. He said, this is my text. We may or may not ever meet again. Brothers and sisters, it is. And it has been God's divine purpose to save sinners and sanctify the saints through the preaching of the Word. God never promised to bless your outline. God promised to bless His Word. It is His Word, He said, would not return unto Him void. Preach the Word. If the Scripture, the Word of God, is everything that Paul says it is, why do we grope about in the darkness trying to find something to say? Bless God, open your Bible to Genesis 1:1 and preach till you get to the maps and then start over. Too much preaching centered around tearing down. You know what the problem is? When you gather people that like to tear down, when they get tired of tearing down all the other denominations, they'll start tearing each other down. And then they'll start tearing you down. And it takes work to build. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now it pleases God to sanctify the saints through the preaching of the word. So preach the word. It pleases God to save sinners through the preaching of the word. Preach the word. Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I could say more, but maybe I have said enough. When God's people gather together to worship, they don't need to hear what they're talking about on CNN and Fox News. They need news from God's network, right here in His book. We don't have the... You and I, preachers, we don't have the right to ride our favorite hobby horse from week to week. Somebody says preachers don't have hobby horses. Oh, yes, they do. We all do. And you want to know what will help you keep a well-balanced ministry? Preaching the word. Preaching the word. We do a great disservice, brother. Former pastor here said it last year at this meeting. We have dwarfed our people by failing to preach expositionally to them. Go home. Any of you have a novel at home? Go home, flop open your novel to any page you want to and start reading, see if it makes sense. Well, it don't make sense, does it? Then why do we handle God's Word like that? Only human arrogance thinks, well, I can tell God's people better than God can. Do you think you and I could come up with a means by which to tell people how to have victory over sin any clearer than God can? Could you and I come up with a clever outline that would tell God's children how to find comfort or grace, and it be any more articulate than the written word already is? Then why not simply preach the word? This is how God reveals Himself. I got to move on because you're fading and you've heard enough. But there's the mandate. Preach. The message is to preach the word. And then how you preach it matters. Here's the manner. Preach the word. I don't know how I got way over here. Second Timothy. Preach the word. Here's the manner. Be instant, in season, and out of season. Anyone who's been in the ministry any length of time will tell you there is such a thing as in season and out of season. I like what one preacher said. He said, we may be out of season, but God's word is never out of season. This is, to some degree, it is a call to preparation. Those of us who have been entrusted with handling the sacred word need to be ready. I said this, maybe it'll make sense. To me, Sunday morning is somewhat like hide and go seek. Ready or not, here they come. Come about 9:45 Sunday morning, I look out my study window and ready or not, here they come. So the command is, and it's amazing, brothers, them Sundays come around real regular like. The command is to be instant, in season. In order to be ready, you got to get ready. You got to study. 2 Timothy 2:15, I believe, study to show thyself approved. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Prepare. Get ready. But not only is this a call for preparation, I believe it is a call for perseverance. Be instant in season and out of season. In other words, you've got to stand and preach when they don't want to hear it. One of the hardest things that a pastor is ever called upon to do is preach something that God's put on his heart that he knows the people don't want to hear. Dealing with something going on in the church, I have literally been sick over it. But if you would go with me just for a moment in your imagination, the king sends his herald. The herald steps into town, gets up on a structure, "Hear ye, hear ye." And then he looks around and it seems like nobody's listening. What should he do? Go on and preach. Go on and herald the king's message. Well, he looks around and it looks like the people been chewing on briars. That's what Ezekiel dealt with. You study it. God told Ezekiel, "You go on and preach, and let me go ahead and tell you they ain't going to listen to you." Probably not a preacher here knows how that feels, is it? Go on and preach. They're not going to listen, but you go on and preach anyway. Matter of fact, when you go to preach and you'll look at them, God tells Ezekiel, and it looked like they got a mouthful of briars. What should the king's herald do? Fold his Bible up and go home? No, you got to go on and preach anyway. It is a call to perseverance. Be instant in season in a convenient time when the people love you. And when it's inconvenient and they don't want to hear it, you go on and preach anyway. It is a needed message whether or not it is heeded. It is unfaithful of the herald to twist the message to suit the people. And there's too much of that that goes on today. Boy, you could double the attendance in this place. All you got to do is tell them how to have your best life now. I don't want my best life now. I want my best life then. Boy, it ought to be worth it. My best life's going to be then, not now. On rainy days, sunny days, when the herald's tired, when the people don't want to hear, when he's worn out, when he's hurting, be instant in season and out of season. And then the manner, the method, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. It is one thing, I believe, if we are offensive. And that's wrong. But it's something else altogether if truth is offensive. And there are times in which the pastor is called upon to rebuke. If you have a man that loves you enough to get in your face and tell you you're wrong, you ought to hug his neck for him, not get mad at him. If he loves you enough to be up all night, Saturday night, sick, because he knows what he's got to say on Sunday morning is going to go over like a lead balloon, but he's got to be faithful to God's Word. Rather than getting angry with him, you ought to hug his neck, say, "I love you, thank you for telling me I was wrong." Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Don't forget that exhortation. Not only tell them where they're wrong, tell them how they can get right. And then that word exhort has with it the idea of getting down there with them and helping them get right. And coming alongside them. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I have learned one study from Brother John Pruitt preached for us, and I don't think he'll mind if I quote him on this. Last Sunday night he preached for us. 47 years, he says, I've been in the ministry. I've learned one inescapable truth. People are going to do what they're going to do. Until God gets a hold of them, you can kick, scream, gripe, moan, complain, beg, plead, do anything you want to. People are going to do what they want to do until God gets a hold of them. So you know what we must do? Preach and warn. Preach and warn. Preach and be patient. With all long suffering and doctrine. Preach the word. Isn't it interesting? Verse 2 begins with preach and ends with doctrine. Preach and wait. Preach and warn. Be patient. I believe the word works. It don't work on my schedule. But it works on God's schedule. There's life in seed. Preach the word. Maybe I've got time for a story. He said it wasn't no time limit. But I know everybody likes to eat pizza, and so do I. For several years, I worked at the post office as a mail carrier. And hardly, in fact, it was on a weekly basis, sometimes on a daily basis, I would be on someone's doorstep knocking on the door with a certified letter from the IRS. Everybody loves getting a certified letter from the IRS. I'm being greatly sarcastic. But I always thought it interesting the response you would get. Some people would snatch that thing out of your hand. Where do I sign? You know. Others would say, "Why? What is this about? Why did I get this?" Others would say, "Oh yeah, I've been expecting that." And preachers, you and I are just mailmen. We didn't write the letter. All we're trying to do is deliver the letter. Now let's deliver the letter that God gave. And people are going to react how they're going to react. Some going to snatch. Some going to look bedazzled. Why did I get this? Befuddled. And there'll be others that will look at you and say, I've been expecting that. Y'all didn't think I knew nothing about bedazzling. And then let me close. Here's the motive. The motive behind it is verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know what happens if you'll preach the word? You'll preach Christ over and over and over again. A young lady we used to go to church with, she got a job at a local bank, and they sent her to counterfeit school. Y'all know they had such a thing, counterfeit school. You want to know how they taught her to recognize a counterfeit? By teaching her every intricate detail about the real thing. Never brought counterfeits in. Wasn't interested in counterfeits. Learn everything you can about the truth. And if we would preach the word, we'll preach Christ over and over and over again and teach people about the truth. And they'll recognize all the antichrist and false prophets when they see it. By preaching the truth. Paul tells Timothy, the time will come, and brothers and sisters, this time is now. Well, they won't endure sound doctrine. But they will heap to themselves teachers. You may get the idea. I don't know how many of our men may struggle with this thought. You may get the idea that if I preach the word, the people will come flocking in. But Paul tells Timothy, you'll preach the word and some of them are going to leave. Now, if you want your pastor to get up and preach cotton candy and bubblegum sermons every Sunday, that's your business. But I'd rather have somebody preach the word to me. I know the other's a lot more palatable, but it's not very spiritual. It's not going to help. It won't make disciples. I promise you that. But Paul tells Timothy, you're going to preach the word, and what's going to happen? Some people are going to leave, but notice they don't go home. They'll find somebody to scratch your ears for them. They'll find somebody to tell them what they won't hear. But he says in verse 5, he turns it. But he says to Timothy, don't let that happen to you. If you and I fail to preach the word as God's men, that's on us. That's our failure. If we preach the word and people leave because of it, that's on them. And they will turn their ears from the truth. And every time somebody turns their ears from the truth and finds somebody that will scratch them, they'll be a professional ear scratcher. They'll be, this world is full of them. Men who are good at scratching ears. Telling people what they want to hear. And you can garner a crowd. You can pack the pews, but you won't make disciples. There are men who would rather climb a tree to tell a lie than stand flat-footed on the ground and preach the word. But they too will give an account unto God. And he tells Timothy, let the people do what they're going to do, but you be careful. Watch thou in all things. Essentially, we find where the apostle here tells young Timothy that he must preach, what he must preach, when he must preach, how he must preach, and why he must preach. And he does all that with divinely given apostolic authority. And the message still rings true for us today. Preach the word. You say, we've been studying the Old Testament here for a while on Sunday nights. 50-something messages from the life of Moses. Now we're into the book of Joshua. It's amazing how Christ is sprinkled on so many pages. To see the gospel there in its Old Testament form is so gorgeous. If we'll just read it and preach it, don't be afraid of it. Preach the word. Preach the word as God gives. I'm quitting. I promise I'm quitting. If we'll preach the word, you don't have to beat people over the head with standards. You don't have to beat people over the head with legal this and legal that. God's word will do the trick. If we'll just preach the word. Don't run out of here, Tiger's got no standards. Don't run out of here saying that. Right here's my standard. Christ is my standard. Are you trusting Him tonight? You see, to reject message of the herald is to reject the authority of the king. I am nothing other than God has given me a message. I am his ambassador to warn you, repent or perish. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt.